WTOC AM, W236 CR, Indianapolis. Keeping you informed with what's happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection.
Brought to you by Child Advocates. Your voice, their future.
On Praise, AM 1310, 95.1 FM.
And good afternoon and welcome to Community Connection. I'm Tina Cosby. Today is Monday, April the 15th. Our call-in number, 317-972-3008. Again, 317-972-3008. That is the number to Community Connection. We'll keep the lines open for most of the show today. In fact, let's open them up right now. Lines are open, 317-972-3008. Before we get going, we have an important programming note we want to share with you. This Saturday, right here outside our studios, 40 Monument Circle, downtown Indianapolis, starting at noon, we, the Indianapolis stations of Radio 1, will invite all of you, or we're inviting all of you, we're doing it now, we're inviting you, you're invited, to come down to the circle and help us celebrate the life and legacy of the late Jerry the Loverman Wade. Jerry was a larger-than-life personality on our sister station, WTLC-FM, for more than 35 years. And as you know, sadly, he passed away earlier this year and, again, was one of our most enduring and popular DJs ever. So Jerry's loyal listeners, friends, and others have been waiting and asking, actually, for an opportunity to say thank you and even goodbye. And now we are able to do just that for anyone and everyone who would like to participate. So, again, this Saturday is a chance for everyone to join in the celebration and to even be a part of the world's largest Soul Train line. And if you knew Jerry, you know the Soul Train line, of course, is the true Jerry Wade party fashion. So we're going to even see if we can break a record in Jerry's honor with the world's largest Soul Train line. So come on down, pull your moves together and party on down that line this Saturday right here. Again, everyone is welcome. We've been, AJ, since his passing, people have really been, well, are we going to have something? Are we going to do something? Mm-hmm. And, you know, in out of clear and you know, just reverent respect for his family, we wanted to wait until they were ready.
Exactly.
They are now ready and are giving the station the okay to go ahead and have the community-wide celebration of his life. So, again, his listeners, friends, and others are going to have an opportunity to come down and celebrate. You know, this is going to be a celebration of life and celebrate who he was, what he did, and, you know, just kind of party the way he would party. That's this Saturday, April 20th at noon, community-wide celebration for Jerry Wade right here, the Indianapolis stations of Radio 140 Monument Circle. And again, everyone is invited. And I know, AJ, if we are an employee of the Indianapolis stations of Radio 1, we have been asked about this. And it's been announced. I put it last week on our social pages, some of our social pages, but want to make sure we get the word out over the air as well. I know everyone's going to be hearing about it, but, you know, we just wanted to issue this personal invitation to everyone come out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great time. I don't think I can figure a better way than to do it than to try to make the world's largest Soul Train line. I think that's a great commemorative way to remember Jerry. It's going to be a time. It's going to be a time. It should be a nice day outside, and let's get together and make it something for the Loverman.
And in all honesty, and everyone here will tell you, that's probably the way he would have wanted it.
Yeah,
from us here at the station. So that is what's going to happen. A lot to see and do this coming Saturday in honor of the Loverman, Jerry Wade. So come on down, join us. You are all welcome. All you have to do is show up and we'll show you a good time. Noon Saturday, 40 Monument Circle, down here on the circle, community-wide celebration for Jerry Wade. 317-972-3008, 317-972-3008. The lines are open. If you'd like to talk about the upcoming Jerry Wade celebration or anything else, 317-972-3008. As I was saying, we're going to leave the lines open for most of the show, the remainder of the show. As also I was saying, today is indeed Monday, April the 15th, and all across the nation, not just here in Indianapolis on Monument Circle, all across the nation, April 15th, of course, is tax day, the last day to get your state and federal taxes filed if you're going to file them on time. Now, you know, a lot of folks do other things. They get extensions. They, you know, they find way if they're late, what have you. But today is the day that all eyes are focused on taxes. Did you get yours done, AJ?
Oh, yeah. I've had mine done for about a month now.
Oh, you did? Okay,
I always
good.
Wait a little while longer, uh-huh. but I got them. I got them.
Got them done? Yeah. I'm 50-50. I got one done. The other, I've had some paperwork I still got to get together with. So I'll finish those up a little bit later. But... yeah, taxes. Yuck. Oh, anyway, but if you didn't know, here's a reminder: today is tax day. So, so much of it is done online, which is good because you have until midnight. When back in the day, when you used to have everything postmarked before the post office closed, mm-hmm. you'd pretty much have until 5. Although there were some post offices around the country that were staying open. Later, just to get the postmarked in. They were having extended hours just to help last-minute tax filers. So, and I don't know if that's taking place now or not. I don't know. That's a good question. Very good question, Tina. So, anyway, 317-972-3008 is our number. Tax day. Today, AJ, Monday, April 15th, in addition to being tax day, is also draft day in the WNBA.
Yes, it is. It's yes. an exciting day here.
Yes, here and in the city of Indianapolis. We haven't had draft excitement like this for, well, since last year. Last year when the Fever were able to grab Aaliyah Boston from South Carolina, who did nothing but, oh my goodness, nothing but succeed. Rookie of the year, put up stats like crazy. Just, I mean, what more could we have asked of Aaliyah?
I don't think there was any more we could have asked for.
Yeah.
She did everything that she was supposed to do. She set it up nicely. And, hey, that's a great piece that we're looking at here. And we're going to find out tonight. We all are on the edge of our seats, of course. But hopefully we get that other piece later on tonight and we can make something happen here.
Let's hope so. Let's hope Caitlin can come in and move about the league as seamlessly as Aaliyah did. You know, I think Fever fans have been waiting for a long time. I mean, it's been a while since the days of Tamika Catchings, and I think Tamika was in a lot of ways she was like Peyton Manning in the sense that she spoiled us with such excellence in the sport and with winning ways. We got spoiled during the Tamika Catchings era, and we got spoiled during the Peyton Manning Marvin Harrison era. We just got spoiled, so we're ready to get spoiled again. So let's hope Caitlin Clark. You know what I heard today, I can't remember if I heard it or read it because I do both during the day, but that the Fever have not officially said who they're going to take.
Yeah,
can you believe that?
That's why I'm like, hey, let's see what happens. But I don't think there's a way that they choose anybody else, but you never know. You never know because you never know what they may do.
There's not a doubt in my mind that they should. I mean, but I don't know who else or what else they could be. Although this is a pretty talented group because I understand that some of the women are staying and utilizing their extra COVID year because that'll increase their draft capital for next year because this year's class is so strong.
It is a stat class this year. And I think that might be part of what the Fever are leaning into. Maybe they're trying to take a couple offers from other teams and see what they are willing to give up for the number one pick. But I don't know. I think I think they're just playing it close to the chest until the very end, and they still take Caitlin number one.
Well, I think that there's a glaring need that Caitlin can fill. And the glaring need for the Indiana Fever is someone who can score and score consistently. Yeah. They have not had that for a long time. And it's been almost painful at times trying to get them to – I mean, Aaliyah did her thing. She did what she could. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about a prolific scorer, somebody that you know, throw it to them and they're gonna give you so many. Or you can count on – you know, give them so many minutes, they're going to get you so many points. They haven't had that type of player in a while. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, like I said, she can step into that That shoe. Anyway, live coverage of the WNBA draft tonight kicks off at 7:30 p.m. It is going to be at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in New York. This place, I guess, is pretty well known for hosting WNBA draft night. Are you familiar with this place?
I'm not.
AJ? I'm not. I wasn't either. I saw a little bit of a mini feature on it. Mini feature on it. Yeah, this morning. I'm trying to remember when I see things, but I saw it this morning. And it's, you know, it's a historic place. Nice, and apparently has been host to the WNBA draft. So, again, Indiana Fever, first pick tonight in the WNBA draft that starts live coverage at 7:30. We have no reason to believe that they will not select the sharpshooting Caitlin Clark from Iowa. And she, of course, is expected to come off the board as this year's number one. That's the one thing we can just say. We can take that to the bank. She will be the number one pick. Now, who she goes to, unless there's a last-minute draft surprise, it looks like she's going to go to the Fever and
right here to the hometown.
She's already got her mural. She's got all kinds of things.
Yeah, it's set up for it.
Yeah, they probably have her plane ticket already tonight. I bet you they do, because you know how draft picks are. You know, sometimes they go the same day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they'll get a charter and they're in that city, you know, right after the draft. So I expect her to be here meeting the media by this time tomorrow.
I'm sure of it. Either, if not by tomorrow, usually by Wednesday. 48 hours. I can imagine it being much longer than 48 hours. But the way that this city has been clamoring about Caitlin and waiting for this moment, I think, yeah, it'll be rather quick turnaround.
317-972-3008, 317-972-3008. Lines are open today on Community Connection, just talking about a couple of things. Clark, when she gets here tomorrow, I'm just going to declare. Again, she's going to join Aaliyah and the cast. So the Fever roster is going to get a huge boost. Perhaps the team can become a serious competitor, a more serious threat in the league sooner rather than later. Danny Bridges, our sports guy, who we agree with sometimes, sometimes we don't. But he did make a good point in that we shouldn't expect too much from her. Like, don't expect to go to the WNBA finals or what have you now that we have Caitlin Clark, because it simply doesn't work that way. But I think if, again, she can make them more of a contender than they have been in years past. I'll put it that way. Let's hope so.
I think so.
Hey. Speaking of contending and competitors, the Indiana Pacers firmly in the playoffs this year. They locked up their spot. And I'm going to give it to you, AJ. You called it. You called it right down the line. You said they'd get the number six spot.
They got to it. It's been a banged up East this year, and they took advantage outside of the top. But they took advantage of it, and they should be happy about it. I think it's going to be we're going to be on fire for this playoff series. It's going to be a city on fire. There's been a lot with the Bucks this year, going back and forth with the Pacers and the Bucks, starting with the incident with Giannis and the game ball, and going on. They really forged a rivalry that, if it wasn't already there, they forged it this year, and I'm excited. I love this part of the year. I love when basketball matters. I love when storylines come together perfectly like this. And hey, listen, the Pacers are not expected to win this series.
Milwaukee Bucks, right?
I
don't know if we said that, or did you say Milwaukee?
Bucks,
okay,
yeah.
We said number six spot, but yeah, they're going to be playing Milwaukee.
Yeah, and it's going to be a series. It's going to be a series. I don't want to say the Pacers are going to win, but I will say that this is going to be a long one for the Bucks. This is going to be a long one.
Push
for the
it
Bucks.
To the brink.
I do believe this is going to go six or seven games if the Bucks aren't careful. If they aren't careful, and they haven't been very careful this year.
Do you remember the count, the number of times the Pacers played them this year, who won the most games?
The Pacers took the season series.
Okay.
I forget how many games they played, but they did take the season
Pacers
series.
Pacers took the series, okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad they're solidly in the playoffs. What was that Danny said? If the team gets into the playoffs, Rick Carlisle, the Pacers coach, should be seriously considered for Coach of the Year. So I don't know. They made it to the playoffs.
They made it. I don't know about Carlisle getting close to Coach of the Year. It sounds good. It sounds good, but the team doesn't play good enough defense for me to give them that nod. And then out west, it's just too much out west. With the Thunder, the Nuggets, and the Timberwolves going literally all the way down to the end of the season, being to figure out who's going to be the number one seed, and then you got the Celtics in the East that have been substantially better than everybody in the East the entire year. Rick Carlisle did a great job this year, but votes for the Coach of the Year would be a little bit excessive.
I think so, but you know, can't argue with Danny. I thought that was a bit of a stretch, but he did do a nice job. He did a nice job of turning things around. And I still think Halliburton, I don't know, Danny characterizes him as something, but I think the young man is superstar. Is that too? He's good. He's just darn good. Okay.
He's very good. Very good. I'm eager to see how he continues to develop.
Indeed. So good luck and congratulations to the Indiana Pacers. As they take on the Milwaukee Bucks. We are back in the playoffs, folks. So the Pacers are in now, and hopefully, you know, the Fever season starts in May, right? Let's see. When does WNBA season start?
I believe it does start. It's either May or early June.
Yeah, it's the girls, the ladies of summer, the women of summer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's got to be pretty soon. So, yeah, Caitlin Clark will be here tomorrow. She'll be here tomorrow.
We'll see if we can get her to call in.
Yeah, we'll get her to call in. Well, let's get her in studio. Why call in? She's right around the corner. I mean, they could get her over here.
I'm sure we could figure it
out.
Yeah,
maybe we can get her over here. So, also, Monday the 15th is a busy, busy, busy day. 317-972-3008, 317-972-3008. We got tax day. We got WNBA draft. You know, the announcement, of course, that the Pacers made it into the playoffs. Mm. And, of course, for those of you who are weary, maybe now you're going to start to get a relief. Maybe. Because today is also the start of the Trump criminal trial. Now underway. It is underway. No delays, you guys. No favor. No special treatment this time. No anything. It is on. It is a go. It is underway. Mm. Got started at 10 o'clock this morning, Eastern time, 10 o'clock our time, for those who like to figure. Is our time, 10 o'clock. Monday, April 15th, the Trump criminal trial, now underway in New York City. Jury selection phase has begun. With that, this man, 45, becomes the first former U.S. president ever to face a criminal trial. This particular case, and there are several, but this particular case that is going to be taking place prior to the election, which a lot of the pundits said that he would not even be on trial, that no trial would come to fruition before the election. This particular case has to do with accusations that he used hush money to silence a former adult film star about an alleged affair they had so that voters would not find out prior to his presidential election. So, the hush money trial with the former or the alleged adult film star Stormy Daniels, one of his fixers has already been to prison for. So I don't know why. Yeah, he has. He has. So we'll get back to that in just a second. 317-972-3008. 317-972-3008. Brian, go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment on the draft tonight.
Okay.
And so all this hype and hyperbole that's going on, we're at the same crossroads as when everybody wanted in the Pacers to draft Steve Alford, and they drafted Reggie Miller. And so Caitlin Clark is not the best player. She may be number one ranked, but she is not. She got locked down during the playoffs. And when she gets to the WNBA, I'll think it's going to take her a while to catch up because of the speed and the size and the talent across the board of the women that are already there. And there are many more because they could double down and get a larger center to help last year's number one draft pick and then build around them. But we'll see if Indiana does the same thing, same standard, but we'll find out. Thank you.
You know what? There's been, and there's been, you know, that's not an argument or whatever that we haven't heard. You know, there certainly will be a learning curve. Has she received a lot more attention? Is she getting a lot more attention than, you know, than warrants? There's a lot to be said about that. Is she the best player? She's certainly the most prolific scorer. She may not necessarily be the best all-around player.
She is not.
Yeah, okay, she may not be.
She is not. For us to put all those expectations on her being the savior is no. And I don't understand why all the everybody's putting her number one on the draft board because they're much more athletic and quicker and taller than her just because she can shoot from the half court. That's not a high percentage shot.
No, it's a very low percentage shot.
You can't score without the ball.
No.
And you, if you don't go get that big tall center that South Carolina had or somebody else that locked her down, that there were many more people that can put a defense on her and still score the ball. There's a big difference. And I don't understand, but that's the myopic attitude that Indiana displays year in, year out, football, basketball, baseball. I don't care.
I do agree with you in that I think based on the game that Caitlin Clark plays, that she would be more likely to have a larger learning curve as she adjusts to the WNBA than, say, for instance, an Aaliyah Boston would from South Carolina or some of the others, again, based on the type of game. The South Carolina players, they play all-around game, you know, just an all-around. They play defense, they play offense, they play without the ball, they create their own shots. Caitlin does have she has a lane. You know, she does have a pretty good lane, and she has exploited that and ridden it to, you know, to heights that have just exploded. Be it rightfully so or not, and we've heard the criticisms, AJ. We've heard the criticisms, and some of it, you know, probably so. Some of it not. I don't know, but I'm no basketball expert, but I will say that those who have made their a career of as just basically post up shooters, you know, just shooters, they do have a little bit more difficulty adjusting to the speed of the game and to the demands of the game. And I don't know where defense is going to come in with her. Maybe the Fever don't need a defender. You know, maybe they just need a designated shooter. I don't know.
I wish Brian was still on the line. I was eager to see who he thinks is the best player in this draft.
He mentioned Cardoso in roundabout way.
I'm a fan of Camila Cardoso.
She's going to go higher than Angel Reese, it looks like, in all the mock drafts.
Yeah. Camila is probably going to end up going to Chicago. I wouldn't be surprised if she went to Chicago at four.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if she did that. But I don't think that's necessary. Mm-hmm. I don't think you pass up a generational talent. I can understand where we're coming from here. However, if we knew that Steph Curry was going to be Steph Curry when he was at Davidson, doing the things that Steph Curry was doing and listening, and we listened to everybody, we watched this happen in real life. They said he was too small. They said he couldn't defend. They said he would not be able to adjust to the NBA game. And it did take him a while. It took about 3 or 4 years. He had some deal with some ankle injuries. And then the next thing you knew, he was the first ever unanimous MVP. You don't pass up generational talent. It doesn't matter if it's a low percentage shot, she makes it a higher percentage shot.
Well, that's a layup for her, you know in so many ways.
If she's shooting 40% from a range where most people shoot 29%, we have to look at that and say, you don't pass that up. You don't pass that up.
I don't either. But I do think that, you know you don't pass it up. But I do think that And maybe not. Again, what do I know? It just seems as if she may have a little bit larger learning curve, a little bit more of a learning curve to adjust to the speed of the game. You know, her passes, some of the passing, you know, the NBA defenders will not, you know, they're going to lock that down.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's going to flop.
Yeah. And
that's what you're saying, AJ. She's got the skills. And I mean, she reminds me of Larry Bird, because you know how many people tried during his tenure in the NBA, tried to discount, well, he's flat footed. He can't jump again. Mm-hmm. That man could destroy you with what he could do.
And the thing that goes amiss about Caitlin is that if you listen to all the coaches that that opposed her, they all say that her IQ is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
something that you really can't teach. So you can teach somebody how to play better defense.
Yeah.
She's already an excellent passer. Of course, she's an out of this world shooter. And that's what the Fever need. We're talking about what they need.
They need
you
points.
You can find another big that can play in that position. I think we got Brian back on the line here.
Oh, Brian came back. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I just wanted to retort to his, and having played the game for an amount of years, although it's been quite a few since, but I'm telling you, speed and athleticism overrides, and I agree with your comments regarding Larry Bird, but he's a once-in-a-lifetime. Stephen Curry was touted, and it took him a while, but he doesn't play defense. She can't play defense because they're going to go right around her. Believe it. So you better be able to offset in the number of points you score. Otherwise, you're a detriment to the team. And so you can shoot from half court all you want to, but if you're not stopping people going blowing past you and causing fouls or damage related to team fouls and bonus points, then you're still a detriment. And she is not fast at all. And so she's going to learn, and I guarantee you it's going to take a lot longer. The women's game, I watch it. I like it. I don't watch the NBA anymore because it's a video game. And I like watching the women's because they are pure shooters. They play the game how I was taught the game was supposed to be played. They pass. They play defense instead of running up and down the court. And I think the WNBA will be a much harder thing versus all these one and dunners leaving the men's game and diluting the league talent, because all you're doing is running up and down the game the court. But I'm saying the women are much more fundamentally sound, and that's the only reason why I enjoy watching them, college or pros. And there's a big difference.
There's
so
a lot
it's
more.
It's going to be a lot longer. Mm. It's going to be a lot longer learning curve for her.
It will
guarantee
be.
It.
However, there is a lot more zone defense played in the WNBA game as well.
Oh, that's right up her alley. Then all she has to do is shoot
right
over it.
Everybody. And that's also going to help her on the defensive end, because she'll have the help on the rotation.
Yeah.
They have enough size and talent, just like old girl that locked her down for South Carolina.
Raven Johnson.
She is not the tallest player, and they got people out there, believe you me.
They do.
But she can take.
All those people do not have Dawn Staley as a coach to scheme against her.
Yeah, they don't.
And they don't have to deal with Aaliyah Boston in Iowa. There's a difference here.
Yeah.
There's a difference here.
I guarantee you, I'll put $20 down. It'll take her a lot longer to learn this game than people expect.
I just have a hard time believing that when there's a 2020 threat in the post.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying Reese. Who else is coming out this year?
Cardoso's probably coming out. Yeah,
coming out. There are other players.
It's just like the only thing I don't like about the women's NCAA tournament is Iowa got to play two or if not three home games to get to where they got, and West Virginia gave them all they wanted. In relation to the game. But the disparity on the foul calling was like 25-3.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got like escorted. Otherwise, she wouldn't even been in the championship game. So if West Virginia can do it, I guarantee you there are players in the WNBA.
Well, IU shut them down. I mean, I don't know who defended her during that game down at Assembly Hall, but she only got like 20, 24 points, something like that, and the team was soundly beaten. The Hawkeyes were soundly beaten by the Hoosiers. So
And she scored 30 points, but it took her 30 shots to get 30 points. That should have been 60 points. So what does that tell you?
Would she get 30 on Indiana? I think she only got like 24.
During
South Carolina.
Yeah, the field goal percentage is always less than
her. It took her 60 shots to get 30 points. So that's not high percentage. That's 50%.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I'm saying that this lock-in, we're taking this person, just like they did, everybody wanted Steve Alford, and they drafted Reggie Miller, and it worked out for them.
Well, and maybe Brian, maybe you're right. Maybe the reason that they are being quiet about what they will or will not do is like AJ said, maybe they're waiting to see who, you know, somebody make an offer, because you know their phones are ringing off the hook all day long, as they should be. You know, people wanting Caitlin Clark more. So
if they can get 2-for-1.
Mm-hmm.
The second or third or fourth round, I mean fourth pick in the top 10, whatever their pick, and another supplemental player, but you can get Cardoza and another score.
That's the only way you can do that. If you're trading for two other top 10s, then we can talk about it. But other than that, it's a lot. You don't pass.
I think Aaliyah handles the big okay for the Fever.
Well, she does. Absolutely. But to give her some help, and you have a dynamic duel, just like Kevin McHale and I can't think of this.
Danny Ainge. Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, and Danny Ainge. Those were the three. Yeah.
You don't score without the ball. So if you can't rebound, then you can't get the ball.
Yeah.
You can't score.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, we're all going to see pretty soon. But thanks for the input, Brian. Good conversation.
Very good.
317-972-3008, 317-972-3008. We're going to take a quick break and come back. We got some more folks that want to talk about the WNBA draft, so we'll talk about it. We'll be right back right after this.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby on Praise AM 1310, 95.1 FM, Indy's Inspiration Station.
And we're back with Community Connection talking about the significance of today, Monday, April 15th, Tax Day, Trump Day in court, making history. We'll get back to that later. And WNBA Draft Day, where the Indiana Fever get to choose first, expected to choose Caitlin Clark out of Iowa. And a lot of discussion that came up about that. So let's go back to the phone lines, 317-972-3008. 317-972-3008. Let's see, who is LP? Go ahead, how are you?
Yes, apparently the young man you had on the phone was correct. She's not the best player. But the Fever got two picks in the top 10. So, like, I think they'll be okay with her.
Yeah, I think so. Who else would you see the Fever taking if they decided to, you know, deal Caitlin away? And
I wouldn't deal her away. But they got two picks in it. They do need another big to help them lay out. He's right. So, like, that's on that 10th pick, wherever it's at, they need to get a big player.
Big player. If Vinny's still left on the board. I think the two biggest bigs, Reese and Cardoso, are going to be gone. What it is expected to be, 3-4 or 4-5 or 3-5, something around in there. Okay. Yeah.
But the girl down in IU is a big girl.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Good.
So, like, you know, there's some around.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
If she happens to have a little bit larger learning curve than not, so what? You know, everybody adjusts at their own rate according to their own game. But the Fever, need scorers.
LP, who do you think is the best player in the draft?
LP? Are you still there? LP?
We lost him.
Oh, did he hang up? If you want to call back, LP, if you can still listen to us, AJ has a question for you. Who do you think is the best player?
I keep hearing them say it, and I want to know who they think they are.
Who do you think is the best player coming out?
It's Caitlin for me. it's Caitlin for me. I love Camilla. I think Rekia Jackson is really, really good as well.
Yeah, she's good, isn't she?
But I, you know, I think this is a generational talent here. So I'm like, I just want to know who you guys are thinking is who's better.
I tell you what, when somebody makes you shake your head, it's like, how in the world did that? Yeah, I don't know who the best. Caitlin is. Yeah, she's probably it. 317-972-3008. 317-972-3008. Dave, go ahead. How are you?
Hi, Tita. Hi, AJ. How you all doing today?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing well.
I just want to say, if the idiot, who is that that said teams might want Caitlin Moore? If the Fever trade this pick away. Tita, the Indiana Fever will not be in Indiana anymore.
You think they'll get run out of town?
Tina, I'm visually impaired. I'm going blind. No, you don't want me behind the wheel. I will drive them out of town. I'm like, hey, guys, just drive them out of town. The Indiana Fever would be defunct.
Mm.
The organization, we would have no more WNBA if they don't get Caitlin Clark. They're already talking. The ticket sales, and everybody knows there's a lot of people just trying. I'm a homer, Tita and AJ. I'm a homer. I love the Pacers. I love the coach. I love the cheer for the Fever. If they get, they trade this pick, wow. Mm. It would be doomsday. The NBA in the city of Indianapolis. She may not be the best defender, but that's not the case. Agency now is going all to the WNBA. Tina, Camila Cardoza, with her contract, you know, they got free agent. When her contract is up with, I agree. I think, AJ, did you say she'll probably get drafted by Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were saying Chicago or Las Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm. Chicago or L.A.
Or L.A., I'm sorry, Sparks, yeah, Chicago or L.A., yeah.
Okay, she might not leave L.A. after free agency, but when a lot of these girls come up on free agency and the Fever are doing pretty well and looking good in a couple of years or so, oh, they might do well this year, they might not. Hey, how you doing, friend Camila? Hey, how you doing, Leah? Girl, why don't you come on down here? It's the NBA guys do it all the time. Get buddies playing with buddies and start super teams.
Yep.
We may have a chance at becoming a super team.
We got two of the pieces. Well, we would if we draft Caitlin. We would have two of the pieces to a super team. Ready to go.
I'm telling you, AJ and Dave, she's gonna be here in the morning. if they can't find a commercial, they're gonna charter a flight. She will be here to meet the press, get her locker, get everything going, and probably, you know, maybe go back for a few minutes and then come right back. And they got to start. They've got to be practicing and conditioning already.
Yeah,
they have to be.
And so, Tina, she's already been talking. Her and Aaliyah have already been talking. They've been talking to each other for a while now. It's a thing that has them doing. They're talking to each other.
Well, so, where did you hear? Did you read about that or something? Or did you hear that or what?
On YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Okay. Wow.
It's a YouTube video with Aaliyah Boston, the great Aaliyah Boston, talking to Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
It happened, I believe, this summer, sometime earlier this year.
I don't doubt it. Yeah,
Maritina. Now. They better not, Tina. If they don't, if the Fever trade this away, oh Lord, we won't have WNBA.
Yeah, they might get run out of town on a rail. Get run out of town.
Joe, and thank you all for taking my call. You all have a blessing.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. 317-972-3008. 317-972-3008. I didn't know, but that, you know, that's not uncommon either.
Mm-hmm.
For players to reach out to potential players or, you know, what, and I think, I don't know. I just, that's good because they're, you know, they're getting a feel for each other, maybe helping her get a feel, helping Caitlin get a feel for the culture, what have you. So that's good.
I think so too. I didn't mention that. Like it's only a matter of time before they get together and Dawn Staley's probably going to be on those phone calls or in those sessions and get it together. They're going to teach this girl lateral movement. They're going to get her together. Give her a little bit of time. Yeah. And let it work.
You think Don will be at the draft in New York tonight?
I saw on
Instagram some photos. She was with Serena Williams and someone else, another one of her former players. I can't think of the name. I think it's Asia. But anyway.
Yeah, Aja Wilson.
Aja, yeah. They They were in Paris for some, looked like a soccer game, I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, they were in Paris. So hopefully Don has jetted back to stateside and is going to be there with, you know, with all
Camila,
of the.
Yeah, I think she'll be there for Camila.
Camila, yeah. Yeah. Is that the only player that she has this year that's going?
I don't believe so, but I.
Well, certainly the only first rounder.
Well, yeah, there's only 12 spots.
So yeah, so that's it with the first
round.
Yeah,
she's the only one.
Yeah, Camila. So I think she'll be there. I've not known her to ever not be there for her team, yeah, her players, mm-hmm. ever. She's usually there, so I'm sure she'll be there tonight. You know, one of the things, speaking of Dawn Staley, I wish that she could be elevated even more. And one of the things that people don't talk about her too much, and we don't want to make this is not a sports show, you guys, I promise, but this is just exciting for the city of Indianapolis, state of Indiana, because it's the Indiana Fever, that, you know, we're going to have, the Pacers are contending, the Fever look like they're going to be contending, and so this is a basketball state, and we love it, so we're talking about it right now. But anyway, Dawn Staley's ability to recruit. And you know how sometimes with college recruiters, they might have a zone, mm-hmm. you know, they just have a zone. Dawn has gone to the islands. She has gone to another country. So, you know, where Argentina, isn't that where Cardoso is from? Mm-hmm. She has gone north, south, east, and west. She is very, very, very good at recruiting. That lady can recruit her butt off. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say, and maybe I shouldn't have said it there, but nobody really gives her that much credit, I guess, for her recruiting skills.
She's excellent.
That's three fourths of the battle in college. Three fourths of the battle in college. If you can recruit, you got it.
Yeah.
If you can recruit, and I think that's the problem that Indiana University, IU basketball has had up until Mike Woodson. I think Mike Woodson's probably doing a reasonable job of recruiting. He mm-hmm. just landed another one, a real good one. But the recruitment part, that is so crucial to college football, basketball, baseball, all of that. It's so crucial. And if you've got a coach that cannot recruit, you're already behind the eight ball. You're just in trouble.
Mm-hmm. And Dawn checks all the boxes. She checks all the boxes. She knows what she's doing. She's relatable. She's real. Mm-hmm. And that's going to give those, you know, it gives the kids something to look forward to. It gives them somebody to believe in, to trust. And she takes them exactly where she tells them she's going to take them to every mm-hmm. time.
Yeah. Boy, reloading after losing, what, she just lost Cardoso. She may have lost a couple this mm-hmm. year. But she's already reloading, looking maybe two, three years down the road. So. Congratulations to them. I'll say it again. Caitlin Clark's going to be in Indianapolis tomorrow. This time tomorrow.
I'm pretty sold on it.
Yep, she's going to be here. But as we were saying before we got off into the basketball conversation, the former, 45, the former, is on trial right now. Criminally charged. The first former, head of state for the United States government, is on trial for criminal behavior. criminal behavior.
What a time to be alive.
What a time. And, you know, maybe I was reading this into that, but you know how he kind of always has a little swagger, a little, a little attitude when he comes. This morning he looked, I don't know. He didn't look as, you know, he looked, I don't want to say scared, but he looked humbled by the experience. He didn't look like, okay, I got this. I'm in control of this. He did not look that way because, frankly, I don't think he expected it to even get to this part because, like I was saying before, how many pundits and how many times have we seen on every newscast that you want to watch, oh, he'll never be tried before the election because of this delay, that delay, or what have you. Well, guess what? He's being tried before the election. And he could very well be a convicted felon before the election. Very easily could be. So we'll see.
This is quite the situation. I never would have thought to have seen something like this. Even, you know, being a 90s kid and waking up during the Bill Clinton trials. This is crazy to think about. How did we get here? Mm-hmm. How do we get here? And this is the first of four.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This is just one.
This is just one.
Just one. There are more and more on the way. There is a specification that he cannot be out there on the stump talking about people and making threats. He has to be in the courtroom every day. He has to be there. I don't know. Folks are taking bets on how long he's going to be able to stay in the courtroom because it takes a tremendous amount of discipline and restraint to sit through what may be up to 2 weeks of jury selection. And then the trial itself, which can get pretty interesting. So I suspect he's going to misbehave. He's going to cut up. How the judge handles that is anybody's guess. But yeah, stay tuned, folks, because this ain't going to go by the way of the normal stuff. So I was telling a friend of mine who's an attorney that I used to cover the courts a lot. And no doubt about it, AJ, someone, you know, violates a gag order or they're found to be in contempt of court. They go to the judge, throws them in the clink, for, you know, throws them in the slammer. The judge throws them in the slammer for 5 days, 10 days, 24 hours, well, however amount of time the judge feels is appropriate to calm them down, to cool them off. Mm-hmm. I've seen it as much as 30 days. A lot of times, you know, the judge will say, well, spend the weekend in jail, think about it, and then when you come back in my courtroom, act like you got some sense or something like that. Is this an option that this judge is going to use? Because we know. I can't predict it. I can't say. But 99, I'm fairly certain that 99% certain that he is not going to make it through 2 weeks of jury selection and an entire trial without acting out, without forcing the judge to discipline him in some way, shape, or fashion. I can't see it, although stranger things have happened, and if I'm wrong, I will be happy to say I am wrong.
I agree. I think he's there's no chance that he just sits and takes it all on the chin this entire time, because 2 weeks of jury selection and the trial is expected 4 to 6 weeks, correct?
Yeah.
No way he sits and takes it on the chin for that long. What I'm nervous about is the response of the judge and what will happen with the with his crowd, with his followers, with the MAGA folks. If a Trump mugshot comes out, if he's in jail, he's in a jumpsuit, that's going to polarize that man and those people.
Maybe. You think?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And I'm nervous about that. I can't lie. I cannot lie.
Well, they did have to usher away. Yeah, there was some protests this morning outside the courthouse that they had to break up because they were getting dangerous. Trucks with these huge Trump flags and different things of that nature. So
that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Good for them. But
this is something they picked the right one. I don't know how we got to this one being the one that he's going to trial.
Well, it was the first one, remember? It was the very first one.
This is the right one to have right before the election to talk about your character, to talk about you being exactly what we've known you to be, which is untruthful, just all the way through.
Yeah.
Even in the cases of the people that were next to you.
Yeah. Well, so, again, this particular case, and as AJ accurately pointed out, it's one of four, but this particular one, which was the first one that came against him, which made history, this particular case has to do with accusations of him using hush money to silence a former adult film star about an alleged affair they had so that voters would not find out prior to the presidential election. This was real, real close to the election, and Trump had taken one hit after another and felt like he and his handlers felt like he couldn't he couldn't weather another hit. And so they panicked and started paying folks, and this is the end result. One of his handlers went to jail, Michael Cohen, his former lawyer, who's expected to testify against him, for his role in the hush money scandal, so to speak, and the alleged affair and all the others. I think there was someone else, I can't remember, someone else involved in this whole mess that also was sanctioned. So, he's the only one left, I think, of the major players that has not had to face the jury, has not had to pay the piper. So the odds of him getting away scot-free are not very good, considering the fact that Michael Cohen's already gone to jail. Some others are either on their way or have already. Anyway, it's a hot mess. But he wasn't able to wiggle out of it.
No,
wasn't able to
no,
delay.
He was not.
Wasn't able to do a darn thing.
Not
so
this time.
Not this time. Hey, couple of callers want to talk about that. And callers, we will get to you. Let's take a quick break. Won't be long, and we'll be right back on the phone lines. 317-972-3008. We'll be right back.
WTOC AM, W236 CR, Indianapolis. Keeping you informed with what's happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection.
Brought to you by Child Advocates. Your voice, their future.
On Praise, AM 1310, 95.1 FM.
And we're back with Community Connection. Heading into, we're just almost at the top of our second hour, going over a lot of things taking place on this Monday, April the 15th. AJ, as I was saying, we were talking about Trump. We got a couple of callers that want to talk about that, and we certainly will get to that. But I didn't know if you had heard or not, but this, according to the Associated Press, there is word now that the FBI is conducting a criminal investigation into that deadly Baltimore bridge collapse. Wow.
Yeah, I did not hear about that. That's opening another can of worms, is it not?
It is. For all those who cried conspiracy theories for the bridge collapse, guess what? There is now word, again, according to the Associated Press, that the FBI is conducting a criminal investigation of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's focused on the circumstances leading up to it and whether all federal laws were followed, according to someone familiar with the matter. And again, I'm reading straight from the AP. The person was not authorized to discuss details of the investigation publicly and spoke on the condition of anonymity to the Associated Press. FBI agents were aboard the cargo ship Dolly on Monday conducting court-authorized law enforcement activity. The FBI, the agency said in a statement, it did not elaborate and said it wouldn't comment further on the investigation, which was first reported by the Washington Post. It looks like six members of a roadwork crew died. Three of those six bodies have been recovered by divers. So, wow. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Ron, go ahead. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing good. Doing
what you just mentioned, the FBI, they've already ruled out that was not a terrorist attack on the bridge. So they're just apparently trying to figure out who's culpable or who's responsible for negligence.
No, I didn't say terror. I didn't. Yeah. They're just conducting. Yeah, criminal. Yeah, it's criminal.
The conspiracy theorists will be out there. As far as Trump is concerned, the judge has no choice. They should lock him up, period. And if instead of $1,000 doesn't mean anything to him, he's not going to pay it anyway.
No.
As far as his cult is concerned, they don't ever do anything unless they outnumber. Okay. So if the New York Police Department is well aware and they can handle Trump crowd, and so that they won't show up if he's locked down for a couple of days, because like anything else, when faced with equal or superior numbers, they fold like lawn chairs and run like Bundys. Okay, so they're not going to. The only reason they attacked the Capitol was because Donald Trump relieved his Secretary of Defense, everyone that had the power to call the military forward, Donald Trump sent them somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And Mike Flynn's brother was in charge of calling the National Guard. Okay, so once you prepare for these people, what we have to worry about on election, in my opinion, is not them storming the Capitol when Joe Biden wins, but them storming state capitals. That's what we have to worry about. That the local police are going to have to be ready for that. That's all I have, Tina. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. 317-972-3008. 317-972-3008. I would assume, or I would think, that not only law enforcement agencies in New York, but all over the United States are on high alert or higher alert as a result of this trial taking place, including right here in Indianapolis. They have to be. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to be. You know, whatever the result. So, good point. Good point. Mr. Russell, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, Tina.
Hey.
good topics. I kind of agree with the last caller. Mr. Trump is a master at masquerade, I guess you could say. And like a lot of bullies, you know, if you look at most bullies, they operate kind of the same manner. You know, like he's kind of blustering about if anything happens to him, something terrible is going to happen to the country. Well, actually, I think on January the 6th, it was kind of like a pop-off valve, so to speak. And a lot of people that were interviewed, some of them that were there, that even in the, what is it, Proud Boys or whatever they're called, some of them even, you know, they, once it happens, sometimes, you know, you can think about doing something, and then when the reality hits, it's a little bit different. Because some of them said, well, you know, I didn't think this was going to really get into what it's gotten into, and they kind of backed down. Some of them did, you know. So I think we have to really be careful about being bullied into thinking that Mr. Trump is going to call for whatever danger to the country or whatever. I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen, like the previous caller said, you know. But there are people, you know, and it goes all the way back. I don't know if you remember the Branch Davidian situation.
I do, yeah.
The bombing of the Oklahoma Federal Building.
Yep, remember, you know, that.
There are a lot of these people that have this philosophy, and they've kind of morphed into what we see now. But I think you're talking about a numbers game, because they're not as many of them as people might think. You know, and
that was a point that was made on a couple of shows this morning. The number, not only are not as many as you think, but shrinking. He's certainly not expanding his base, not expanding it.
But as we know,
but
you know,
still
even
too
one
many.
Person, yeah, even one person can cause a lot of damage with an AR-15 or whatever.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, they can cause a lot of damage, but I don't think it's going to be the mass type thing that people are fearing. So I don't think you have to worry about that. But the other thing I think that, you know, people are saying about Mr. Trump, he's not going to be able to campaign. Well, you know, that's the reason he became a campaigner in the first place, is to try to get out of what's happening, you know. I mean, that's his only out. And when you look at President Biden, look, he has to conduct the business of the country rather than be a candidate also. So they're both hampered in some way in terms of actually campaigning, you know. So that was one thing I wanted to say. The other thing in terms of the draft tonight, I think that sometimes you can get too cagey. And I think, you know, I remember, I don't know if you remember when the Indianapolis Colts were – they were in really good position at one time as far as being winners, and they tried to be too cagey, and it kind of backfired on them, you know, in terms of some of their strategy. So, but I think that I don't know if you saw Saturday Night Live this weekend.
I did not. AJ was telling me about it. I guess Caitlin Clark was a guest.
Yeah, she handled herself well. I thought, you know, she really got.
Even though Iowa lost the NCAA championship, there wasn't. Okay.
She got on Michael Che's, you know, the Weekend Update segment. I try to catch that if I don't catch the whole show, you know. And she got on his case because, you know, he's kind of been low rating the women's basketball movement, period. Mm-hmm. And she kind of came back on it pretty good. So she has personality, I think. And I think that the other thing is she draws people, you know. And if you are the owner of the team, that's what you want. You want people to get in the seats. Mm-hmm. And she's going to fill the seats. So I think that's definitely one factor that they're going to look at. And she's talented. There's no question about that. I don't know if she's the best player, but she has so many other attributes that are, I think, would be worthwhile of being the number one pick. So,
yep. Yeah, and you know, that's so subjective, though. Who the best is? I guess it depends on what you consider to be important. But you know, certainly one of the better players, one of the top players, and could be should be heading our way here in Indiana.
Yeah, and look at what happened with Andrew Luck. You know, he was touted as the main man at one time, but then he decided he didn't want it anymore after a couple of years. So you never know. They say, you know, you take your chances, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I think if you were in Vegas betting on it, you would have to go with Caitlin Clark as the pick. So that's just my point of view.
Yeah, I wonder what I haven't even looked at that to see what Vegas is saying about what Indiana would. I never think along those lines, but I'll take a look, Mr. Russell. Thank you very much. That's a good idea. All righty. 317-972-3008. 317-972-3008. AJ, is that a thing? Would that be a thing in Vegas? The odds of who the Fever picked? You know, in the draft, would that be a thing?
Sure hope not. I sure hope not. That'll be a terrible bet. be a terrible bet.
Folks
to
will bet on a dog walking across the street.
Oh,
so
yes, they will.
I gotta believe that there's something there. Let me see odds of Fever.
You know, I'm looking now. I don't see anything for the number one pick.
Odds.
I don't see anything for the one pick. I see for every other pick except for number one. So they have lines for picks 2 through 6, but not number one. FanDuel says Caitlin Clark is coming here. So
is that what FanDuel?
That's
said?
What FanDuel is saying. They won't even open a line for it.
So it must be. Indiana Fever had the best odds, and it's just. 44.2% chance. This was back in December. I don't see anything either. Mr. Russell, you opened up a can of worms there. it's just that she's odds and predictions. USA Today, this was 5 hours ago. Who comes off the board after Clark? Monday remains a ton of mystery around Camila Cardoso and Aaliyah Edwards will end up. One thing we don't have to guess is number one. Certainly take Clayton. Okay, so the Fever. So there's no, there's nobody to take that.
They've got FanDuel has Caitlin on the second pick as an option for plus 10,000. So $1.
Okay. Dollar wins you what? 50 cents?
$100. $100 wins you $100.
Oh, it does?
If she goes second.
That's how lopsided it is. Yeah. Okay. See how much I'm not good at math like that. Lisa, go ahead. How are you? Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I'm all right. I am calling to inform the community and possibly remind them that the U.S. Dr. Valerie McCray is running for U.S. Senate.
Right. We've had her as a guest. She's been a wonderful guest on the show. Yes.
Yes. So we really need to go out, those that are registered to vote. You have to actually go down there in the primaries and declare, which is what a lot of people don't like to do. But she is a very steady-minded, capable. She's able to reach beyond party lines and extend olive branches. Mm-hmm. And she's into the helping with the mental health and really getting that solidified.
Mm-hmm.
I can't name all of it because I just met her. Mm-hmm. And just being able to name that and just meeting her, just imagine mm-hmm. what she can do if we allow her the mm-hmm. opportunity to mm-hmm. go represent Indiana.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And, this is for the Senate seat that's going to be left vacant, the United States Senate seat that is going to be left vacant former Senator Mike Braun, who is now running for governor of the state of Indiana. There are two Democratic candidates, Dr. Valerie McCray and Mark Carmichael, retired businessman Mark Carmichael, who is also coming out of retirement to run. So those two Democrats are hoping to come out. One of them is hoping to come out of the primary, the candidate for the fall. So we've had both of them on the show. So, good luck to both. Dr. McCray and to Mr. Carmichael. 317-972-3008, 317-972-3008. Jeff, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, Tina. Hey, RJ. How you guys doing?
Good. Doing good. Thank you.
I hope you and your families had a good weekend. It was
Same
a beautiful weekend.
Wasn't it? It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day today, too.
Yeah,
so,
beautiful day.
Yep. But I want to tell you about Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Let me get to Joe Biden first. Everybody's always concerned about his age, what have you. But guess what? Yes, Joe Biden is older than Mick Jagger, okay? But guess what, people? Joe Biden is younger than Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney. Think about that one. Just marinate on that. And they're still doing pretty good, you guys think. So I think Joe Biden's okay, you know. And as far as RFK Jr., he definitely nothing like his father. Nothing. He's a whack job. And I see that the Kennedy clan is running away from him like I don't know what. And I guess it was one of his campaign managers basically said a quiet part of our lie. Their goal is actually to get Donald Trump back in office. They want to siphon votes from the Biden camp, and he's just running on his name. And she was running her mouth, one of his campaign managers, whatever it was. But he eventually fired her, but pretty much the cat is out the bag with Mr. RFK Jr. But let's talk about the cult leader. And I hope you Republicans are listening, because you're not in a party anymore. You're in a cult, just like Charles Manson and Jim Jones and David Koresh. And your orange Jesus is in a courtroom right now. You know, Tina, you let me threaten the judge's family. What do you think is going to happen to me?
Well, So what were you going to say about today, about him, today being the start of the trial and what have you? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, if his name was Donald Johnson, he wouldn't get the attention. And he's, you know, we do know that. Now, one thing about Donald Trump, he exposed that we do have a two-tier system of justice, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're of the oligarch class, yeah, the rules are much different from you. And, you know, and the hypocrisy. I don't know if you saw this week with George Stephanopoulos when he had the governor, I think, Sununu. He was okay. A big Nikki Haley supporter. And he said Donald Trump is incompetent. Donald Trump should be president. Now he done got on the Donald Trump bandwagon, you know. And we just go show the hypocrisy of these people, yeah. Like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham. You know, they talk about how rotten and no good Trump is. But now that Trump is the presumptive nominee, that now they're all he's the greatest thing since grapefruit juice. So I'm just saying the Republican, you know, party is pretty much a cult. And Donald Trump, when all the kinky little details about his encounter with one Miss Stormy Daniels, I wonder what the white evangelicals are going to say when all that kinky stuff comes to the attention. You know that their leader,
yeah, there's not
their leader. Yeah. Yeah, you know they come out family. I don't want to hear no more about. I don't want to hear about family values when these guys no more. I don't want to hear about it no more.
Yeah,
you know because the guy you worship is a criminal and a deviant. Yeah, and you guys are a bunch of frauds.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, there's no reason to believe that they're going to react in any way. They haven't so far. And if they haven't reacted to every single thing that has come about as a result of revelations against 45, they're not going to. And I'm not quite sure what they would say. So there they are. They, you know, to me, they've already established themselves. They've already established their corner that they're in. There's nothing more that they need to establish for me. I don't know about you, AJ, but what more could they do to say anything? I mean, they've already taken their side, right?
Yeah.
They've got their corner.
Yeah, we've been here for a while.
Yeah, so they're not going to say anything. Mm-hmm. You know, no, they're not going to say a thing. 317-972-3008, 317-972-3008. Mike, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Tina?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, yes, number 22, Caitlin Clark, if she don't play no defense at all, she is a cash cow. And, you know, Tina, I was doing some reading on her. They was talking about there will be more Indiana Fever being broadcast this upcoming season than any other team in the WNBA.
Yes, I think only four of their however many total games that they have, only four will be not be broadcast. Every other, you know, 90% of the games are going to be broadcast.
Yeah, so you know, she's brought here for that reason, and also they want to win, but
well,
they know the value of that of her, and you know, Vegas, Tina. Let me tell you about Vegas. Vegas won't take a sure bet. I'm going to tell you something, Tina. You back when the women's college women's was playing, you couldn't bet on them to win outright. They will have, you have to bet for them to win by 23 points. You know, some of them 32 points. On the money line, you just couldn't pick them outright to win. That's what Vegas do. Vegas will not let you win that easy. And that's why they did not put Taylor Clark on a money line. Because that's just how they roll. You know, there used to be a time where you can bet on, like, baseball, first inning. You know, which team will score first? Or will any team score at all? Guess what? Vegas found out they was losing so much money because it was easy to place a bet that won't be no score at the end of the first inning. It'd be 0-0. And it was the quickest payout in the world. Then all of a sudden, suddenly, it disappeared off the kiosk. There's no more bets like that. So that's how Vegas rolled. You know, they wanna they won't let that money go so fast. But another thing too, Tina, you know, that worries me in this country. You know, in one corner of the country, you got people talking about death to America in different parts of the state. You know, we just seen what happened over the weekend with the missiles firing at...
yeah, we haven't even gotten to that yet.
Yeah, firing at Israel. But, Tina... the United States, to me, is sitting on a powder keg. And somebody in this country better figure out how to solve this problem, or it's about to get real ugly. I mean, it don't take much, Tina. It don't, it, you know, you can see a mess before it hits the fan. And if our government ain't working on this mess, then I tell you what, sooner or later, it's going to hit the fan. But that's all I had to share with y'all, Tina.
Okay. Appreciate it, Mike. 317-972-3008. 317-972-3008.
Yeah. It's a lot going on over there.
Yeah. A whole lot going on over there. We haven't talked about that, but... when I first read the push alert that Iran had attacked Israel with a whole bunch of stuff, I'm like, oh, my goodness, here we go.
The same type of sentiment. It came across. I saw it. I'm like, hey, what's going on? This is not necessarily the news you want to see. And, you know, Mark or Mike?
Mike,
he said it correctly. We're on a powder keg. We're smack in the middle of all of this.
But yeah, indeed, and it was expected.
Yeah,
you know that. I mean, it's not like it was. Oh wow, what a shock! You know, not like the Hamas attack.
It's been coming for a while.
It's been expected, and now you know the U.S. is even more. I don't know. What would you call it? It's more complicated for the United States because they have to figure out a way to continue. To stand beside or stand with Israel, if that's their position, but not, you know, not crazy retaliation by Israel. I mean, it just gets more and more involved and more complicated. So, I don't know. have to, but I did not, I kind of cringed when I saw that. 317-972-3008, 317-972-3008. Hank, go ahead. How are you?
Oh, I think I'm going to make it. How are you guys?
Doing okay, I guess. Yeah, doing our best.
So, Caitlin Clark, I'm like, listen, I'm like, hello, you people. That's our player. Could you give her a break? That's our player.
Yeah, yeah.
And as far as that Israel, you got a crook Netanyahu. He's worse than Trump.
Well, you know, certainly of the same ilk.
Huh? United States following right up behind him. He fired the judiciary, so they can't put him in jail.
That's true. That's true.
That's just ridiculous. But that's my comment.
So,
thank you, guys.
So let me ask you a question. So do you believe that Caitlin Clark was the best player in the NBA, or is the best player coming out of the NBA draft this year, tonight?
Yes, ma'am. She's going to be the number one pick. That's what they go by.
Now, number one pick, but do you think she's the best player?
It's pretty hard for me to say, but I haven't seen all the players. But as far as Indiana goes, that's our best pick. And I don't like the people talking about it. Let her come here so the fever can get some jewelry.
Yeah. So we can get going. Yeah, quick. You know, I think some of it, though, is just the accolades and all of the attention that has been showered on her. Just like, you know, with Saturday Night Live, Caitlin Clark hosted. Yeah. But guess what? South Carolina won. They got the natty.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, they
yes,
got the natty. But, so was there somebody from Caitlin South Carolina Clark. Or maybe Dawn Staley or somebody that could have been on SNL this weekend instead of Caitlin Clark?
That's right.
But so that's the kind of uneven coverage that a lot of people point to. But you're right. She's coming here.
America.
Huh? Say
welcome
what?
Welcome to America.
Welcome to America. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm in America now.
You know they're going to do that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if she wasn't that good, they still would have hyped the Caucasian lady up because we're in America. And that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Be a good player like that. Well, that's my comment. You guys have a good day.
You too. Thank you, Hank. I think at some point, hey, I like Hank's point.
Yeah.
She's on our team. She's going to be on our team, so let's rally behind her. I like the other, implied thought that at some point in time, yes, this is America, and there is unevenness between black and white. They're just always, we know that. But winning wipes away so much of that that you don't really notice it. And I wonder, you know, once she starts winning and cranking up the numbers and the threes and all the other things, how much of that will kind of slowly dissipate. You know, you just got to wonder how much of that may be.
It's a ton of it. I don't know.
Yeah. I know. But winning cures it all. You don't see, you know, whoever's doing the best job for the team gets all of the love, black or white. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of how it goes.
That's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes. And Hank, you're 100% correct. She's coming here. She's on our team. Like I said, AJ, did I say she'll be here tomorrow?
We got to figure out a way.
You got to figure out a way to get her in here. But she's coming to Indiana, Indianapolis, and going to be part of the Fever. And so, hey, let's help her get going and put some positive energy around her. And the media will be what the media will be. It'll adjust.
Yeah, let the games being televised. I don't see the issue with that.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, exposure is a great thing.
Yeah.
That's good for us. That's good for us because exposure from the Fever. Hopefully it'll translate to the Pacers and they can get some national games too.
Mm-hmm.
We like that.
Pacers lost a few games this year, didn't they? Nationals.
Sure did.
They didn't have very many. It was kind of hard to find a Pacer game. Now it'll be a little bit easier now that they've made the playoffs and it's playoff basketball. So
yeah.
We'll get to see.
We got to the finals of the in-season tournament. So it's things like that. They bring revenue into the city.
Yeah.
No matter what's going to happen, it's bringing revenue into the city. That's always a good thing. And just being a fan. Being a fan.
I tell you what, the Fever ticket is going to be a harder one to get than the Pacers.
Yeah.
Next season.
The debut game, is the opening game, is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I saw the prices. I did not like them.
Mm-mm. But you know what? They're on TV.
Yes,
so
they are. I'll be watching.
So we get to watch on TV. We don't have to worry about it. We get to watch on TV. And there, yeah, I'm sure there'll be tickets available at some point in time. But right now, everybody's just rushing to get the tickets because Caitlin Clark. So let's take a quick break and come back with a little bit more. Got a couple of things to recap, and let's see, a couple of other things, yeah, we want to get to. So we'll be right back with more Community Connection right after this.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby on Praise AM 1310, 95.1 FM, Indy's Inspiration Station.
And we're back with Community Connection, just kind of recapping where we've been since the start of the show. Tax day, so get your taxes in before midnight tonight. Draft day for the Indiana Fever, well, for the WNBA in general, is draft day. Starts at 7:30. Live coverage tonight from Brooklyn, New York, starts at 7:30 p.m. Indiana Pacers also made the playoffs. We want to talk about that. But the Indiana Fever expected to make national news tonight as they choose the number one pick in the draft, Caitlin Clark. The Indiana Pacers, as I was saying, hooray for them, too. They're in the playoffs solidly. And they're going to be playing the Milwaukee Bucks. So today is also the 15th, which is the first day of the trial of the former 45 accused of using hush money to allegedly a film star about an alleged affair that they had so that voters would not find out prior to the presidential election. That trial has started. In earnest. And so a lot of that stuff's going on. Also, just found out while we were on the air, a little bit before, word that the FBI is conducting a criminal investigation into that deadly collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge. The investigation, we are told from the AP, is focusing on circumstances leading up to it and whether all federal laws were followed. That's according to someone familiar with the matter, as opposed to a terrorist attack or something like that. So what the FBI is looking at is, was there anything criminal in terms of negligence or persistent negligence that would have caused that that collapse slash collision? But it's big news, though, that it's a criminal investigation as opposed to a regular investigation. So
yeah, that one is a little shocking. And
yeah,
I need to read the details of that one so I can be a little bit more well versed.
Yeah, yeah. So far, we know that six workers were declared dead. Mm-hmm. The bodies of three have been recovered. The other three have yet to be recovered. So there is that. Here at home, we haven't gotten back home. Violence over the weekend started right off with Friday. Late Friday evening, two 19-year-old women, I understand them to be cousins from Marion, Indiana, and a 27-year-old man were found shot to death at an apartment complex near 46th and Post Road in Lawrence. Do we have that follow-up from Fox 59's Russ McQuaid, AJ?
One second.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it just started all over. You know, we were talking about curfew. And, you know, got the kids somewhat, you know, going in the right direction. And as a result of a mass shooting, so we get the curfew. I don't think there were any curfew issues. I didn't hear of any curfew issues over the weekend for the second weekend in a row. But for whatever weekend in a row, deadly gun violence in the city of Indianapolis, it's just unbelievable. The women were 19 years old, the two. One of them was about to graduate high school, I understand, fairly shortly, and a 27-year-old man, 46th and Post, out there in Lawrence. So, yeah.
We got that.
You got it? Oh, you got it? Okay. This just quick follow-up from Fox 59's Russ McQuaid.
Darkest days since we'll be apart.
Three people died Friday night in the 4400 block of Duxbury Road. One was 27-year-old Spencer Lawson of Indianapolis, but the others were 19-year-old cousins, Aaliyah Wortman and London Coleman.
Those were two of the sweetest girls you would ever meet in your life. They had such positive energy. They were a good time, and as you can see, everyone loved them.
The crime scene was near 46th Street and Post Road, just over the border in Lawrence.
We feel like they were targeted for some reason. We don't know why. These kids did not deserve this.
Ladies, a mother, ladies. Like,
ambushed. Ambushed for no reason.
We know someday we'll meet again.
In Marion, friends and family gathered in the girls' hometown and recalled cousins who were more like sisters, always together.
It made me happy that they had such an impact on so many lives. Because not only are our hearts breaking, the community's hearts have been breaking.
Aaliyah was set to graduate high school this spring. Now, instead of celebrating a rite of passage, family and friends are mourning a life cut short by an unknown killer.
You're disgusting trash, and I hope it catches up to you. And that karma eats you up way worse than you ever did to them.
Russ McQuaid, Fox 59.
Yeah, and, you know, I played that because sometimes when we're just talking about these horrible incidents, they become a little generic almost. I hate to say that, but these are people with families, and these are human beings, and it's happening. You know, there were more shootings. I think there might have been one more fatal shooting over the weekend, but certainly more people shot. Over the weekend, and I don't know. Boy, there's a lot of work to do, but I am glad that one of the aspects, which was curfew with the younger people, I'm glad that that was given the attention that it deserved. A lot of these other programs and interventions and things of that nature, they're getting money, they're getting attention, but let's face it, it takes a while for them to take hold. And you know, the entire time the state lawmakers aren't doing a whole lot of good for those who are out here trying to do good by being unyielding and not even thinking about amending this open carry, who a police officer that we just had, you know, with our regular visit with IMPD said, there's no doubt. I mean, there is a clear cut line between the passage of open carry, permitless carry, not open, permitless carry, and the escalation of gun violence. There's a straight line, and these lawmakers are just turning a deaf ear to it because that's not what they wanted to hear. Not they did what they wanted to do. And so sadly, so sadly, until I guess it just has to land in the right yard, you know?
Yeah, that's what they say, you know.
It's what I hear.
It has to hit home before anything changes. Unfortunately, this is our home.
Yeah.
And I don't see how we are missing that part. We all share this community, and we should want to do something about this because that's heartbreaking. That's three lives cut short. For what? And who's to say what's going to do anything to change it? Who's to say that the law is going to stop it? If we change it, it's going to stop it. But you know what? It's a start.
Yeah.
It's a start, and it's worth a try.
It is worth a try. And there should have been outrage that the shooting down there outside the mall, there should have been outrage about that. There should have been outrage about the mass shooting prior to that, and then the mass shooting prior to that. And it's just, you know, crickets, nothing. Yeah. You know, they kind of shrug their shoulder. They don't say anything. I don't know. I don't know how that. And by the way, I was downtown at the mall for a birthday party over the weekend, Saturday night. And don't think I didn't think about it. I did. Because the party, and there was no problems. There was a lot of activity. People were dancing on the corner. You know, the street musicians were playing and some other things. But there were also groups of young people that you knew were younger than 16, 17, and 18. I mean, there were just groups of these kids. And I'm shaking my head thinking, what are they doing? Now, granted, they weren't breaking curfew because the party I went to started at 7 and I was down there by 7:30 or 8. And they still weren't breaking curfew because we left at about 10, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, but they were there in groups, several. I saw, I think, maybe three different groups. And, you know, I don't know what happened the closer it got to the Saturday night curfew. I don't know what happened. But they're still right there outside of the mall. And, yes, I thought about it. I was glad everybody was getting along. But I didn't tarry either. I mean, I didn't run or act afraid or whatever, but I just didn't linger downtown too much. And what I saw was that while the parent, maybe by the time curfew time hit, these kids went home. Because like I say, AJ, I had to think about the time that I went into. It was just a, you know, it was a nice party, just a quick party, adult party. We had a nice time. Mm-hmm. It was still going on when I left, when we all left, but they were out. They were just out, and you could see it. And walking around looking for something to do, I guess. I don't know. Now, the street musicians and the folks that, you know, are in their own world, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They are always going to be downtown. They're not going to bother you. You might interrupt a conversation that they're having with themselves periodically here and there or something. But they are going to do what they're going to do. The dancers, they're going to do what they're going to do. I'm talking about kids that were just walking around in groups. There were also, it was prom. Yeah, I guess it must have been prom night. Or there were some folks that are walking around, young people walking around in their prom outfits. You know, they were dressed up in gowns and tuxes and things of that nature, and that was beautiful to see.
Yeah.
But I could not help but recognize that there were still some young kids that weren't even prom age that were out downtown.
Yeah, it's a little baffling. It's because there's not much for you guys to do. I don't know what you guys are doing down there except for just me hanging out. And
that's a tough age. It's a tough age.
It's a tough age for you to be out there. And and I understand being explorative and wanting to go, you know, be other places, but be where you're safe. Two, be where you're welcome. So because it's, you also want to, you know, be wary of all the other things that's going down. There's other dangers around here. There's dangers for the kids. The kids aren't just,
they weren't doing anything. They were just, they were like I said, I saw three different groups of that age, and I could just about identify that age. And whatever they were doing, they were, and I hope to goodness that by the time curfew time hit, that they all were picked up or taken back home or went back home, something. I don't know. I hope so. But didn't hear of anything. But I saw a lot of the energies that a lot of people were talking about. And I usually don't get downtown too much on the weekends unless I'm going to a special event or something. But it's just not where I go. And a lot of visitors from out of town were there too. So, you know, there was that. So, but yeah. So I hope that the police get a handle on who may have committed this triple murder. Out in Lawrence, and all of the murders, they have to be, you know, it seems like as soon as they bring in one, you know, something else pops up. So they got to get that going. But the other thing that, you know, in addition to all of the other significant dates about today is that you may have heard about it. I'm sure you've probably seen it on social, but we're going to be talking about it every day. And that is this important programming note for the community coming up this Saturday right here outside of our studios, 40 Monument Circle at noon, high noon. It'll start at noon. And I haven't checked the weather forecast yet, AJ, but I did look at the weather forecast, actually. I think it's going to be a pretty good day.
Supposed to be in the 60s.
Supposed to be in the 60s. Okay. It should be a really, really, really nice day and a great day for us, the Indianapolis stations of Radio 1, to invite all of you, our listeners, to come down to the circle and help us celebrate the life and the legacy of the late Jerry, the lover man Wade, Jerry Wade. As so many of you know, Jerry was a larger-than-life personality on our sister station, WTLC-FM, for more than 35 years. He loved what he did. He loved being on the air. He loved Indianapolis. And as you know, he passed away earlier this year. And again, was one of our most enduring and popular DJs ever. So this Saturday is finally a chance for everyone to say thank you to Jerry. to celebrate and to even be a part of the world's largest Soul Train line, which Jerry would heartily approve of. Okay, he would definitely approve because he always liked to keep the party going. Mm-hmm. So come down and help us put together the world's largest Soul Train line. It's going to be something. Boy, I hope nobody gets tired going down the line, though, if it's the largest.
Yeah, you're going to get tired for sure.
You're going to get tired for sure. Yeah, so we're
stretch beforehand.
Yeah, we're going to make sure everybody has a chance to get in there that wants to get in there. So, but it's going to be the world's largest Jerry Wade Soul Train line that we're going to put together or organize for you. Outside on Saturday. So come on down, join us. As we say, everybody, every single person is welcome. We're planning to have a good time, great celebration this Saturday, April the 20th at noon. It is a community-wide celebration for Jerry Wade right here, 40 Monument Circle. Just come to the circle. You'll find us. The circle's only so big, and it goes in a circle. So if you keep walking around, soon, but you'll see us. There's no way you won't see the WTLC setup, the Radio 1 Indianapolis setup. And again, this is a party where everybody is invited. Everybody is invited to come down and say thank you and to celebrate Jerry Wade here at 40 Monument Circle. Saturday. Mm-hmm. April the 20th, high noon, starts at noon. So, AJ, we're hoping to have a good crowd.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it's gonna be amazing. I'm gonna go probably practice some moves in the mirror.
Oh, you gonna go down the line?
Oh yeah, 100%. I gotta go down the line one time at least.
Okay.
I gotta go figure out what I'm gonna do. I think I might.
I'll organize it. Oh, you got that? You got the hands?
I got that one.
Okay. I'll be the organizer. I'll organize it. indeed. Well, that's all the time we have for right now. Again, don't forget about Saturday, April 20th. We're going to tell you about it all week, but just wanted to let you know. Right here at 40 Monument Circle. Our website, praiseindy.com. Willie Moore Jr. on the radio is up next. Thank you, as always, for listening. We're back tomorrow, as always. Please be safe and be well. For now, I'm Tina Cosby, and this is Community Connection.